Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you. If you will, turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. We've been considering this agricultural image of sowing the seed. We've looked at, last time we did this, am I a sower or am I sowing? And now we're looking at, am I growing? And eventually we are going to get to the fruit that we should bear. We're going to spend a few months this year on the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians chapter 5, and how we can develop that. But before we get to the fruit, we have to look at the branches and how they are going to be splitting off so we can expand and grow the way God wants us to grow. And so I want to consider the image of a plant splitting off into its branches, and we're going to consider three branches tonight. And these three, this triad, is found so many times in Scripture. In fact, I could probably spend an hour reading you references of this triad found in Scripture, but I won't do that. It's faith, hope, and love. And we find these three in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, says that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though you now see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we are kept by the power of God, notice, through faith to salvation. God helps us, and he helps us as we have faith in him. The end of our faith, notice in verse 9, the goal of our faith, not that faith is going to terminate at one point, but that the goal of it in this life is the salvation of our souls. But notice that this faith has to grow, and in order for it to grow, you've got to go through some growing pains. You have to go through the fires of trial. And so it says that you greatly rejoice in the salvation that God has given you, but for a season now, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The book of 1 Peter was written as the destruction of Jerusalem was looming. It was coming. And so this season of tribulation is not something that would just happen over a couple days, or even a couple months. But you have a few years here where there was severe persecution against the church leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. In fact, the Jewish-Roman war lasted 3.5 years. And so this was a season of trial. And later on in 1 Peter, he's going to talk about how the judgment is coming to the house of God. And so this time of tribulation was some years. It was a few years. And we have to make sure that as we go through hard times in life, that we examine where our faith is. Do you remember when Jesus was with the disciples sailing on the Sea of Galilee? And in Luke chapter 8, he went and he fell asleep in the ship. And this great storm arose, so much so that these men, many of whom were fishermen, came to wake him and said, "Master, we perish. Master, we're about to die," because the waves were coming into the boat and they were beginning to sink. And Jesus asked this question in Luke 8 and verse 25. Where is your faith? When you're going through the trials of life, when you're in the storm, when things are hard for you, where's your faith? You see, it's at that point our faith has the ability to grow if we will learn to trust in God. It can become greater if we will trust in him through the hard times. Now, if we can keep life the way that we want it to and arrange everything according to our likes and remain comfortable, guess what? We're not going to grow. God has to take us through the fires of tribulation in order to help us grow. Proverbs 17 and verse 3 says, "The fining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts." Isaiah 48, verse 10 says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction." God's people were in a furnace of affliction in Egypt. That slavery that they went through, it was to refine them. In Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 4, God says to them, "When I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt," notice this, "from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all that I command you, so shall you be my people and I will be your God." And so the trials that they went through were an iron furnace. And you know, if God is going to melt off the impurities in our hearts, if he's going to refine us and give us more faith through the trials that we go through, it can't just be something that's warm. It has to be something that's hot. And that will burn away the rough edges. It'll make things clearer. It'll make us trust in the Lord more. You think about all that Job went through. And in Job 13 and verse 15, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." We're looking at this idea of growth happening. And this time of year, you know, most of the trees, you look around, they're dead. And through that whole process of them losing their leaves and having that dormant state, they develop these rings that make them stronger. And your faith can grow stronger if you will trust in God even through the hard times. Jeremiah, we just read part of his work here, you know, Jeremiah was somebody that went and was faithful to the Lord, even to the destruction of Jerusalem. And in a funeral sermon for the people of Jerusalem, when he mourns over Jerusalem in the book of Lamentations, in a book that is filled with heartache, we find these words in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." And so our faith can grow, and it can also help us to grow our hope, which is the second thing that I want to look at here in 1 Peter chapter 1. So the faith that we go, you know, the trials we go through can help our faith to grow. And as our faith grows, so grows our hope. Look with me at verse 13 of 1 Peter 1. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So hope. Hope is a word that many times today is used in a different sense than the Bible uses it. Today, we hope something will happen, like we hope maybe a team wins the championship, or we hope this might happen. We hope it'll be a nice day tomorrow. That's not the idea of hope as you find in the Bible. Hope is a certainty that God will be true to his promises. And as you go through the trials that try your faith, if you cling to God and you recognize time and again that he is true to his promises, that he brings you through that fire, and on the other end, you come out more like him, and you come out greater in faith, that helps your hope, because it helps you to recognize that he will be true to his promise. He is faithful. He will not renege on his promises. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us this about these tribulations that help faith and ultimately produce hope or certainty that God will be faithful to the very end. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice with the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." We mentioned this earlier of the image of going through trials being kind of like being lost at sea. And you know that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 that hope is the anchor of our souls. What keeps you from drifting when the hard times come is the certainty that you have that God is faithful to his promise. And so this hope that you have, you hope for the end of the grace that will be brought to you, verse 13, when Christ comes again. And notice what this hope does, verse 14. It helps you to be pure, obedient children. Because you're not living for the here and now. You're not living to just get as much pleasure that you can out of this life. You have something far greater than this life that you're hoping, that you have certainty for, that you're preparing for, and that's heaven. And so he says, you don't fashion yourselves according to the former lusts that were in your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy, you're also holy in all holy manner of conversation. And so 1 John 3, verse 2 says, beloved, we are now the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. And then notice this, and every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to be with him? You want to go to heaven? Do you have certainty that that's going to take place? The more certainty that you have, the more you're keeping yourself pure because you want to go to heaven. Because when the Lord comes back, you know he's going to be faithful to his promise. He's also going to be faithful to his promise to punish those that do not follow him. And so we want to be on the Lord's good side. We want to be people that the Lord will reward when he comes back and be certain that that is a future reality. And then finally, notice verse 18 of 1 Peter 1. We have faith, we have hope. Now let's consider the greatest of these, love. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So notice that we were redeemed. The idea of being redeemed is to be bought back. Back in Bible times, many times people were in slavery because they could not pay a debt. And a loved one, a family member, would pay that debt for them and redeem them from bondage. Well, we have a loved one. We have Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to pay the debt so we could be redeemed from bondage. And we were redeemed from this vain conversation. Now, obviously, the commandments of men are vain. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 19. The worship of idols, like Brother Jerry talked about this morning in Bible class, that's vain. But any life that we live that is outside of Christ is vain. In fact, even religious life that's not in Christ is vain. You think about Matthew 7, 21 through 23, where Jesus says, I don't know you. And they might have done a lot of wonderful things, but according to their standard, but they were working iniquity. They did it all in vain because there was no profit in it spiritually or eternally. And so they were redeemed from their vain conversation received by tradition from their fathers. And so they were redeemed from this, and it wasn't from silver and gold, but it was with the precious blood of Christ. And God had foreordained this from the foundation of the world, and by Christ, verse 21, we believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You notice how these two previous points, faith and hope, are now reiterated here in verse 21. Our faith, our trust ought to be in God. Our hope ought to be in God. And then notice verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. I mentioned this triad, faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13 lists all three of them. Now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. If we're going to learn to be like the Lord, we've got to learn to love. In fact, 1 John 4 tells us that God is love. That's an essence of his nature, is love. And so if we're going to grow, we've got to add love to our life. Now think about what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, talking about these trials that they're going through and how it can be a growing experience. 2 Peter also talks about growing. And it says this, notice it starts out with faith and it ends with love. It says, besides this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about growing. We're talking about becoming the plant that God wants us to be. And if we don't want to be unfruitful, then we've got to add these stair steps of Christian growth to our life. But he that lacks these things is blind, verse 9 says. Cannot see afar off, has forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if these things be in you and abound, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so adding these things to our life, the last one that we have here is love. Now notice here he says, in our 1 Peter account, he says that we've obeyed the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Something that should set us apart as Christians is genuine love. Not feigned, not fake, not hypocritical love. The world has enough people that act like they love somebody when deep down they really don't. The world has way too much of that. We have to learn to genuinely love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's not just putting on an act, but that's genuinely wanting what is best for them spiritually. And so we have to think about what God, the way God would treat somebody, the way Christ would treat somebody, and behave that way in our attitude towards one another. You know, Jesus was not always, as far as somebody that in his speech and actions did things that always just pleased other people. It wasn't about pleasing other people, but he did help people see their greatest need. He saw their potential. He loved them unlike anybody else had loved them. And so we have to learn to see people like that and approach people like Jesus would. Finally, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the last verse in the epistles of Peter, tells us that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to think, am I growing? And growing is not always something that you can measure. You know, the children that grow up, you kind of mark the lines on the wall of where they are. And I suppose as children, we can do things that are more concrete like that. I mean, have you read your Bible this year? Have you prayed every day? Have you associated with Christians every day? But these things here are not so easy to distill in a very concrete way. But I think if we will honestly reflect, we can think to ourselves, have I grown in faith? Am I allowing the tribulations and trials that I go through to cause me to trust in the Lord more fully? Have I grown in faith? And in hope, and have more certainty that the Lord is coming back, and I'm keeping myself pure because I'm certain that he will come back and reward those that are his own. And am I growing in love towards other people? Because, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying. And it is possible for coldness to move into the hearts, for skepticism to move into our hearts, for our hope to become less and less certain. And so we can either grow or we can die. And I hope that as we are trying to grow this year in Christ, that we will look at these three branches, faith, hope, and love, and make sure that we're growing strong in them so that we can bring forth fruit unto God, and we can be a blessing to other people, and that we can be in heaven when this life's over. Are you here and not a Christian? You know, we desire for you to be part of the eternal kingdom of our Lord. What you have to do in order to do that is to be born again. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 8:24. You have to repent or turn from your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Christ before men, Romans 10:10, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's the new birth. You're born of water and of the Spirit, John 3:5. Maybe you've done those first things and you're not growing the way that you should, or maybe you've turned your back on the Lord. We're here to help you. None of us is perfect, but all of us are here trying to get to heaven. And that's what we want to help you do, and we want you to encourage us as well. And so if you have any spiritual need along these lines, please come while together we stand and while we sing.
Oh, let's say, yeah, thou art needing. So let's say, your wait for thee. Hear his words of tender pleading. Hear his gracious come to me. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest. He has died for thy transgression. If thou wilt, thou canst be free. Soul, he waits for thy confession. Savior, I will go to thee. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest. Do not linger till the morrow. Let thy loving answer be, Savior, in my joy or sorrow, I will ever go to thee. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest.
Be seated, please.